Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Well, I'm excited to be back from Mexico. Where do we go, Ivan?
We were in the city of Cuernavaca, Mexico. So it was in the state of Morelos, the city of Cuernavaca.
Now, interesting enough, when we were down there, we realized that Mexico has, it's like 31 or 32 states.
Yes, you learn something new every day. I had no clue.
Yes, and the state that we were in had 32 counties.
Yes.
And I believe we were traveling, doing the Kill the Noise high school tours through, I think, four of the counties when we were there.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And the city we were in, it's a bigger city. So within those counties, it's one of the bigger cities.
So we have an incredible faith story tonight for you guys. As you know, I run the Whosoever's Movement here in Los Angeles, California. And we started this Kill the Noise tour to basically tour all the public high schools. It started right here just in the L.A. area in Orange County, and then it started spreading to San Diego and then to Northern California. And then it, you know, went to now we went out to Toronto, Canada.
Yep.
Where else have we gone?
You guys went to Seattle.
We went to, yes, Seattle. So, and now all these other doors are opening where all the other states and different countries are happening. So tonight we're going to talk about this whole faith story, because huge things happen when we went to Mexico. Literally, we've seen – I honestly felt like I was living in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
It looked like it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just – it was a constant just flood of people. I probably haven't seen that many people in 8 days, and I don't know how long. It was a lot of people.
It was.
And so God really – he really did blow open that door wide open.
So, yeah, so tonight's just going to be a rad faith story. So I want to actually start at the beginning. And maybe, David, maybe I'll start with you. So tonight I have David Arroyo in studio. He's our director, woo-hoo, of operations for the Whosoever's.
Yes.
España.
Hey.
And then we got Ivan. We got Ivan,
yes,
in studio. He is.
Hello.
Ivan's a man of many hats.
Yes.
He actually runs our whole Kill the Noise program and many other things at the movement. So the man. We'll just call him the man.
I'm not the man.
The man.
I am not the man. I am not.
I was actually calling him on the tour, Denzel Washington. Oh, by the way, Denzel. In Mexico, where we were, there was no black dudes.
He was the only rock guy. Star.
I was looking. I go around, I look, and there was not one in sight. I was definitely a minority.
The only black dude we saw was our flight attendant on the way home.
Yeah.
That's it?
They were calling me Denzel. They were calling me 50 Cent. They were calling me Will Smith.
Hey, I look over, and then I see him, and, dude, they're all, like, trying to, like, take photos with him. Like, so, dude, they were going crazy. It was amazing. So good.
Amazing.
So let's start. We got Jesser on the phone from Mexico. We're going to bring him in a minute. And did we call him?
He's actually, when you're ready, you should be able to see
him. Did he call in or did we call him?
He called in.
He did call in?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should start. Let's start with, should we start with you, David?
Yeah, I mean, basically just started with, yes, sir. You know, he came out to the men's conference at Golden Springs. And then, you know, he's like, hey, Ryan, you know, we want you guys to come out, Kill the Noise. And, you know, we hear that all the time. You know, and we're like, yeah, totally. Let's just, yeah, Ryan's down to go anywhere. Just you tell us. And so so he did. He reached out and he's like, hey, we want to have Ryan come out. We're going to set up some schools. And I'm like, sick, let's do it. And then, you know, he booked it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, he basically booked it. We're like, all right, cool. And then I'm like, all right, yes, sir. So, yeah, send me the information so we can kind of start making all the flyers and get all this stuff. And it was funny because he was just like, well, okay, yeah, you know, Mexico, we just need a little more time. You know, we'll get back to you. And so – a week went by, 2 weeks by, and then he literally got back, and it was like the whole details were, oh, we got into this school. But what was pretty cool, what he didn't tell me until he told me then when he reached out, was that, you know, the guy that originally said that could get you guys into the schools out there, and when he actually followed up and said, hey, I booked Ryan, he's coming out, they're like, well, we can't get him into the schools. He can't.
Because it's against the law there.
Yeah. It's like, you know, so.
Can't talk about God.
Yeah, so basically they started like, kind of like, what are we going to do? We got Ryan coming. So he's telling me this whole story and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then he's just like, yeah, you know, and then we just, you know, his church there is, I think it's Mustard Seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in Spanish, it's Semilla Cuerna.
Yeah.
Cuerna short for Cuernavaca. So Semilla Cuerna. There's seven in the country.
Yeah. And so basically he said that they just started praying. They just started praying like crazy. And then I think they even went knocking at the doors, met with the principals, and the principal's like, do you know what you're asking? Like, you're going to come to Mexico and get them in our schools and talk about Jesus? We can't do that. Yeah. It's not possible.
So here we are. I was honestly sketched out because I always get sketched on Mexico anyway because Mexico's sketchy. Well, what I realized is that I only go to the tourist destinations.
Yeah,
exactly. I go to Puerto Vallarta.
Cabo.
Tijuana.
Cancun.
Even the Mexicans are scared of those areas. Yeah. When I was down there in real Mexico, Mexico City, they're like, oh, yeah, those places are dangerous. So I was already scared to go down there. And then all this stuff is happening. And then
that's why I sent you with Denzel with you.
Thank you for sending me
the muscle.
So we're going to go ahead and call in. We're going to bring in Jester right now. He's in from Mexico, Cuernavaca in Mexico. Jester, are you there?
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Yes, there he is.
So we were just kind of talking about how this whole story started happening, how you approached me at the pastor's conference, and you want us to come down here. And then we just ended where the guy basically said that he could get me into the schools, and then he backpedaled and said, we can't get right into this school. So tell us a little bit about the story from your point of view, how this all happened.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, I want to say that for me, it's an honor to be in your program.
We love and, you.
Yeah, me too. Well, I want to say probably the verse that I can use for telling this story is Matthew 19:26. You know, that part that what for men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible, because this was impossible for us. As a country, we have never seen something like this. So let me start at the beginning.
Yes.
Well, as a church, we always pray for the non-believers of our country and state. And for some years, we were preaching to students of junior high and high schools through a camp where 500 young non-Christians were going, I think, every week. But in the last year, we were not doing that anymore. So we were waiting direction and open doors from God to continue working with the students. Then one day, my pastor tagged me on a Facebook post of the Whosoever's movement. And that's how I knew about the Kill the Noise tour, the Wake Up message, the radio program, everything you do. But when I heard your testimony, for the first time, I was shocked because when I saw the testimony, you say that you born again in a hotel of Costa Rica after having been in Mexico with a group of professional skaters.
Yes.
So, number one, I was shocked because in Mexico, never professional skaters come. Number two, because I had been in that demo, and number three, because anybody that was in that demo will never forget that day because it was a total disaster, you know?
Didn't you guys almost burn down the city?
It almost turned into a riot. Literally the ramps, we went down there with the circuit team. This is the last tour I took.
Yeah.
This is in my testimony. Wow. And in Mexico, we showed up, and the distributor for Circa.
Yeah.
The Mexican distributor, they built ramps, but they didn't have the right amount of plywood. Uh-huh. So when someone would drop in the ramp, the wheels would go right through.
It was just
plywood on top, not plywood, but like masonite.
Yeah.
So next you know, none of the skaters could skate because the ramps were falling apart. So the local Mexicans started getting pissed because they wanted to see the skate demo because no skaters ever come to Mexico. So they started breaking the ramps and lighting them on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
So it turned into a huge inferno.
And yes, sir, was there. And yes, sir, you were there.
He was there.
Leading the rebellion.
Yeah. We were smashing ramps everywhere. Probably this. Yeah, that was, so anybody could forget the day. So I told my pastor about that time and about Ryan, and that's where the subject remained, you know? Like, nothing more happened. The conversation with my pastor stopped there. Then a month later, we saw that Ryan was going to come to Semilla, Mexico with Fermin. And we thought, well, that's a good opportunity to work together. So before the conference here in Mexico, it was closed, the CCA Pastors Conference. So in the conference, I approached Ryan, then I approached to you, David.
Yep.
And so we invite the Hildenoids, and you say yes, so everything was going great. Then we returned to Mexico, and a person in the church told us that he had a new job in government with a lot of influence, and that he could help us to enter the schools to preach the gospel. So we were like, yeah, we're going to do this. So then Ryan comes. Came to Semilla, Mexico,
which is in Mexico, right in the central of Mexico City.
Exactly, yeah, like 45 minutes of distance from Cuernavaca.
Yeah.
So I take the opportunity to see him and tell him about this, and I was like, "Hey, Ryan, in Morelos, we can enter at the public schools of our state and present the Kildenoids without a problem. Easy, you know." He told me, like, well, done, let's do it. So after that, I came back to Cuernavaca with the person who told us he was going to help us enter to the schools. But it turns out that he has not the power or the influence that he thought he had. In fact, with the schools, he has nothing of power or influence in all the states.
Time to quit lying.
So
one side, we think that everything's all good, but the other side, from the church point of view, everything's falling apart.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a funny thing because I'm emailing Yesser. Hey, Yesser, can you send me the schools? He's like, yeah, we're working on it. We'll get it to you. As they're freaking out, praying and stuff, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what happened next?
David was like, come on, man, we need to think. And I will, yes, I know. We're just picking details, you know?
Well, we blocked off a whole week of dates to go to Mexico so we could have high impact.
Yeah.
So then what was the point? Everything fell apart, and then what was the turning point of this situation?
Well, suddenly we have already committed with you to have at least 2 schools per day for a week. For the Kildenoids.
Yep.
So the flight tickets we were already paid, and we were like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? So I started going to the schools to present the tour and see if anyone was interested. And no one. There were schools in which the directors made fun of us wanting to include them in the conference. They were like, 8 years. Do you know how is the education in Mexico? It is secular, right? And one of the principals of one of the schools, he was mocking with his secretary that she was not even in his office. Like, it was meters away from him. And he started saying, ha, they want to preach, to teach the Bible in my school. So he said, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. Even messages from friends who work in schools text me saying, what you want to do is impossible because you will never achieve it, not in Mexico. So the days went by and doors no open. And Satan was using that to attack us. And so we were so discouraged. And on a Wednesday afternoon, we were all, like, sad and discouraged, ready to throw the towel. And that day was the day of prayer in the church. So Krista, the wife of Jaime, my pastor, told to the church, you know what, church, we need a miracle. We need God to open doors because we have nothing. Wow. So that night, all the church was praying. And to not make the story so long, for the next morning, we have already an appointment with someone from the government, And 2 days after we prayed as a church, we had municipalities in our state fighting to see who was going to be the one who won the Kill the Noise Tour in their schools. And they decided that they were going to have it in the schools that most students gathered for the event.
Okay, so hold on there. Yeah. So basically, they're over it. They pray.
Praying.
When they woke up the next morning, there was a phone call waiting. Hey, we got an appointment with the director of the government. Come on down.
Yeah.
Then next thing you know, they're all fighting all these schools because I said that there's different counties. So all these four counties are all fighting, and the rules were like they had to have at least 600 kids minimum, or else they didn't get it because the teachers and the districts were fighting over it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is crazy because this is what's also crazy.
Yeah.
This would never happen in America unless God did something, because this wasn't a lunch rally the way we normally do it. This was a conference. This was a mandatory assembly for the whole entire school. And they were bringing in some places. They'd bring in like four or five different schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is just unreal now. Now God, through prayer, just unleashes these blessings.
Yeah. Gives you the keys of the city.
Yes. So, yes, sir. What else?
Neither in Mexico. That's something that never happens here in Mexico. It's something that only God can do.
Yep.
You know, we can. So,
and I want to say something, Jesser, really quick. These places that we were going weren't really like broken down cities in Mexico. You know, because like when you're in LA and you go to Tijuana, you see a lot of like danger and corruption. It's just it wasn't like that. These were like very like nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like areas,
yeah.
So it wasn't just like we're just in a poor area. Like we'll just take whatever you guys got.
Yeah.
These places are like difficult to get into in front of these kids. Yeah.
Established schools.
These kids spoke English.
Yeah.
These kids were like laughing at jokes before the translator even. You know. Yeah.
I mean, just like he was saying, though, the one teacher was just saying, "You want to come to Mexico?" I mean, they have also high standards in education in Mexico. It's you know what I mean. This is totally a God thing.
God thing. All right, Jester, let's do this. What else?
Well, we have like a lot of stories about that. Like that Wednesday on my desperation, as a joke to myself, I went to a Catholic church to invite the school to receive the Kill the Noise. Because I was like, no one will accept that here in Mexico. So I think it's easier than a nun accept this than anyone else. So I went, I knocked the door to that school, and they accept. And I was like, with my mind blown, like, what? What are we going to do with that Catholic church? It was so fun, and well. I don't know. That's how God opened the door for this week of madness and rage.
Yeah.
Because I think like about 7,000 young people were part of the Kill the Noise Tour in a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that was unreal. Unreal. So thanks a lot for giving us a call in, and we're going to kind of go into like what happened now in that trip. But thanks for calling in and giving your backstory about it. I mean, God's doing amazing things in Cuernavaca where they're at.
Yeah.
So many more opportunities. We're going to talk about what happened later on. But where these guys are at, God's doing something in Mexico and in those surrounding areas. And the kids are open to the gospel. They're going through the same stuff that every other kids are going to around the world, because we're all connected through the same devices and we're all looking at the same stuff.
Exactly. The world is a small place.
It's extremely small these days with technology. Yep. All right, Jester, thank you very much.
Love you, brother.
For having us out. And if we don't see you soon, we hope to be back in Mexico with you doing more high schools.
For sure. Thanks for the call. And I hope this serves as encouragement. And I can say that I think this is part of revival in all the world that God is doing.
Definitely.
Dope, man.
Absolutely.
Well, hugs and kisses to you and your wife, man. Love you, man. And your pastor.
Thank you.
Peace out, yes, sir. Love you, man.
All right. Awesome. Bye. So,
wow.
So, we booked the trip.
Yep.
We pack. We have to shut down the amount of product we're taking down there because, you know, that we can't get it all on the plane.
Yeah.
We get on the plane and we head down there. What, tell me about the trip, Ivan.
Okay, so we get down there. And one of the, so overall we did about, so within 8 days, we knocked out about 14 to 15 events. That's speaking events. One of the first events that we did, if you follow the Whosoever, you follow Ryan on socials, you see we went to a place where there was it was almost like kind of like a group home type of setting where Ryan was able to speak to fatherless and motherless kids that have been sexually abused, that have been cutting and things like that. The ratio was probably about 80% girls or something like that to 20% boys, and so Ryan was able to go in there and just give them hope and love and peace, and so.
That was a younger, they were younger, right? That was like probably like 13, it could have been like 12 to 17.
Yeah. Exactly.
They even said they even had like from, in the other section, from 9-month-year-old babies up to, they had like two sections.
No, exactly. And so we're in a place where you see, visually, you can see girls who have cut marks on their arms, marks on their legs. And you can just feel and you just recognize that a lot of these kids are oppressed. And so. Mm. Just for me, stepping foot in Mexico and being able to go to this first event and see that what we're doing is gonna bring some lasting fruit to these girls. It was amazing. I was like, okay, I'm in. Whatever's going on after this day with these girls and these kids at this welfare center, I'm hooked.
You're right. That's how you set the tone. And this, all the places we're going to are public, and they're like, yeah, you can talk about what you want. And we're like, yeah, can we give them Bibles too? And we were able to give them Bibles and show them where to read and. And then we were actually even able to send a girl from the church to go back there to disciple him.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was just like the whole program.
Yeah.
Wow. Then the next night, I believe, we went to...
actually, the same day.
Oh, it was the same day?
The same day we did the event. Skate event.
Oh, that was the skate event.
It was the same day.
Yeah. So then what we did is we did the Whosoever's Best Trick contest in downtown Cuernavaca, which is like... What would that be like a similar city to us in L.A.? Like that, like little downtown...
It's like Pasadena?
It'd be like more like a more like a Laguna Beach.
Okay, the way I would explain this, so basically within Mexico and South America, each city has like a main hub. It's like a civic center, a square where everybody comes out. Like here in America, we go to the mall. In Mexico, they go to the square. Yeah. Everybody's city out. Square. There's vendors. You got your
cafes.
Your cafes. You're trying to get your churros on. You can get that.
An outdoor mall, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
The closest I would say that we get to it is probably like a pier.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So here you are. You have this whole little scene going on. Then he talked because Yeser skates. So he talked to the local skaters. They actually welded a massive handrail, like a grown man handrail. Like I thought they were going to bring like a handrail like the size of a skate park.
Yeah.
They brought a full sized one. We laid it down like an 8-stair. And then basically we had a music out there, we had the mic, and we just had a best trick going on. And what Yester did is he got it approved by the government because they weren't allowed to skate this area because it was against the law. So all the skaters in the city got to skate this spot that is illegal.
Wow.
Legally. And, dude, the best trick went off. It was like a success. We invited some skaters over to the night. And then I ended up speaking that night. So we already did 3 events in one day. So then we had like 350 kids there that first night. Wow. And then, you know, preached, gave the altar call, and like, dude, I mean, I don't know, half of them came forward. It was like.
There was one thing about that night I wanted to remind you, Ryan. There was a kid who actually was tearing it up in that skate event who was actually impacted by everything that we were doing. Remember the kid with the shirt, the 666 shirt?
Yes.
And everything that happened on his social media?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
what
happened?
Yes.
Okay, tell the people.
So the guy that showed up, he had like the 666. Logo on his back, big old 666. Well, he ends up winning the best trick contest. But we're all skating. I'm giving him high fives. He's landing sick tricks, and we're just kicking it. And just through the relationship of us hanging out with him, loving him. And obviously he wore that 666 shirt because he knows it's a Christian event. But he wins, so we award him the best trick. He wins the contest.
Wow.
And then we're all talking. He kept saying thank you very much. Thank you. It was just through love, hanging out.
I bought him
all
Cokes.
Just hanging out with him for the day. That he ended up going home when he won the best trick. He got the skateboard, he got some t-shirts, hats, whatever, and then we even gave him a New Testament. He went home on his Facebook and posted a photo of it with the skateboard, all the products and the new tests.
Wow.
Yeah. So one of his friends replies on his comment and says, "Oh, no more Satan. And he says, no mas.
Wow. Yeah.
Dude, on his Facebook. Is that crazy?
That's sick.
Yep.
That was next level. Oh, and then one of the other skaters that came to the event that night, he showed up with his whole he had a pullover, and his whole thing was weed leaves. Weed leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it turns out it was his birthday.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know he was wearing weed leaves. He turned out his birthday, so I called him up. I saw him. Hey, come up here. I want to give you a free skateboard. So he walks up in front of the whole church, and when he got on the stage, I realized he was in full weed leaf sweater. So wow. I just said, hey, we're going to sing happy birthday to him. We sang happy birthday to him. Wow. And then, dude, he was like super stoked. And then I think we led him all to the Lord, right?
Yeah, him. And then he had another buddy who came through with them. And he actually ended up telling us that he had cancer, right?
Yes.
One of the buddies, he had cancer. So we were able to pray with him. And he was he was right there on the fence. He was listening to everything that Ryan had to say because he just gave his full testimony. And so I think it was just something that was just unique to those guys, you know, to hear Ryan's story, being relatable. Yeah.
Being in church, too, and wearing weed leaves, and the whole church was singing happy birthday and clapping for him and, like,
welcome.
Loving on him.
Yeah, feeling welcome.
Yeah. Exactly. It was awesome.
You know?
It was awesome. So then the next day, I think then we did the Sunday mornings, and that was like three services. And dude, the Holy Spirit just showed up like just massive in that place. Just it was cool. Just talking with the people, praying with the people, and that church is definitely very spirit led in that part of Mexico.
For sure, no, it really is. I was blessed. You know, obviously everybody's speaking Spanish, and you know, and it's not my first language, but it's amazing because. It really doesn't matter that barrier. It's the Holy Spirit breaks it down. Yeah. You know, it's just that love.
Yeah,
that church is filled with so much love, so much wisdom. I just commend the pastor Jim for everything that he's done in that church because I was encouraged. I wasn't able to verbalize that to him, but I'm saying it now. You know, I learned so much through that guy and everything that the church has. That church is filled with real servants.
Jim is the real deal. His team's the real deal. That guy, I got wisdom. He's legit. He's behind the scenes, but he is the guy.
Wow.
He's legit, and it was an honor and privilege to serve with them. Real deal, pastor.
Yeah, I mean, what a testimony of just their faith, you know? I mean, for just them just reaching out and then even keeping us in the dark and just knowing, like, hey, God has to just show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And look what he did. And when he told me that story, I knew it. I'm like, this trip is going to be crazy in a good way.
You know what else is crazy is Jim's mom just died too. Wow. And she just died. So they had to hold the funeral. They had to hold the funeral till after this trip. So he stayed there because he's like, dude, I know God's going to do something here. Wow. We're going to bury my mom after. Wow. But he had to stay there. And then the last day he came to bury his mom. Because he's from America.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And he has a whole nother testimony. When he comes to California, we'll get him in the radio show because that guy's amazing. Wow. Amazing. Jokester. This guy. Well, we're going to be going to break right now, but we're going to continue the story right after the break and talk about all the other amazing things. Because we only talked about three events so far.
Yeah.
And we did 15 events.
Exactly.
And we haven't even made it to the high school.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, look, if you want to get past shows, you could go to my website, ryan-reese.com, all the past archives, all the Shine studies. You can even get connected to the Whosoevers at thewhosoevers.com. If you want us to do the high school tours, it's become a world tour now. So we are open for whatever. We'll take it to different parts of the world. You contact us, shoot us an email, we'll pray and let God open the doors, and we'd love to come out and basically give the gospel to the students. And get those students plugged into a discipleship program and get them back into your church. That's the whole goal. It's the Great Commission. Go out, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commandments.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and Remy.
Yes.
We have Remy tomorrow. Tell us about Remy.
Yeah, so tomorrow's going to be an amazing thing. So we're having Ryan's good friend, Remy Adeleke, who's actually previously on the radio show. Ryan interviewed him on the show, but he's actually going to be out in the SoCal area, Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, tomorrow, Sunday night, January 21st at 6 p.m. Come on out. He has an amazing testimony, an amazing story. He's a former Navy SEAL turned Hollywood actor. So I'm excited for it. Can't wait.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Is everything all right?
Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese. Don't say what I
warn you. Loud noises! We are back, and I'm stoked about this whole Mexico trip. Again, if you were listening to the previous show, we just got back from Mexico. We were in Cuernavaca this week for 7 days. We did 15 events, and it was just crazy. The first half, we did a skate contest. We went to this home where there's these kids from 2 months all the way to 17 years old that were taken from their families or sexually abused or human trafficked or cutting and just basically motherless and fatherless. And God just opened the doors for us to get in through the government. The government allowed us to get into these facilities. They allowed us to get into the high schools. They allowed us to get into the prison system. They allowed us to get into the in front of the police force.
Yeah.
This is like the book of Acts. What you read in the book of Acts, I literally felt like we were living this for 7 days straight. It was like happening so much that I was like, is this just happening right now? This is crazy. Because you normally would see like, you see hundreds of people get saved and then, you have to wait weeks to see that happen again or months. Yeah. This was like every day there was like 400 to 500 people getting saved. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. And then we were doing 2 to 3 events a day. So that's like that's like 1,500 kids a day getting saved.
Exactly. And you know God's doing a real work. So we were able to, one of the other events we were able to go to was we actually showed up at a police academy. They call it the Police Academy Youth Patrol. So you have all these kids there who, the government brings these kids in and they're kind of training them up as if they're being trained as police into the police force. But it's actually a real legit police academy. And so we were invited there. And the amazing thing about that, I think we got in front of about like 250, 300 kids. Ryan gave his story, gave his testimony, talked about just what the Lord's done in his life. And basically the whole room came forward. And so I kind of think back in the Bible, I think of like Paul and Silas, right? Paul and Silas, they get rolled up there in prison. They're singing hymns in there, praising God. And what happens? One of the prison guards there gets saved. One thing that I tripped on here at this police academy was it wasn't only the kids that came forward. There were some of the cops that were in that academy that came forward too. Wow. And so you're like, what in the world is going on right now?
So now if you go to my social media, just Ryan Reese, we're looking at the photos right here. All the stories that we're talking about are on my social media and you can see the stuff. When you look close, in the very back of the photo, you see like a group of people. There's like 10 people in the back. That's the church group. Everyone else in the room has come forward. You have cops in uniforms. There's like four cops in uniforms. And then there's like three other like employees. And then the guys taking the pictures are the people that work for the government, the cops that are not Christians. They're like blown away. They're taking pictures. The government was documenting the whole trip. They were posting photos or posting articles about our tour on the government website saying these guys are coming. They didn't look at it like it's evangelistic.
Yeah.
The government was pitching it like we were here telling our stories.
Right. Wow.
So that's how they presented it. So, I would get up and say, hey, look, we're all free to believe whatever we want.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to tell you my story.
Yeah.
And then through my story, obviously, I tell my story. Now you have the gospel going, how I got saved, what my encounter was, the whole thing. It was just me telling stories.
Exactly.
But so this is how real this place was. We're at this police force or police academy. We're meeting with the chief, the director of the whole police academy. Yeah. And he's like, right now, next door, he's all the American what are they called?
Like the narcos?
No, the American, the FBI. He's all, the FBI guys are right next door.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were meeting. Our FBI guys meet with them because they want to be coherent with our law.
Yeah.
And they said in that area where we were at, they said 80% of the opiates of the heroin come from right in that area.
Literally. Wow.
That they sneak over the border. That's why Trump wants to. Dude, he told us, he goes, this is why we need a wall. Mexico, Mexicans in Mexico City, the cops are saying we need a wall.
They want a wall.
They want a wall because what's happening is where they're at, all that 80% of the opiates and all that drugs, that's where they're shipping all in America.
Wow. Yeah.
He's it's right here, guys. This is what's happening. And that's why we have the Americans FBI here working with them so we could we're not corrupt. Yeah. We're working with America to get rid of the drug problem.
Yeah, yeah. And literally it was crazy. The highway right in front of the police academy was literally because where the police academy was kind of off the grid a little bit. So it was literally the highway right outside the doors we were at, where that's like a main hub, a main highway for drug traffic right there.
It's real. So then let's just keep going along with this whole. So we hit a couple high schools and, you know, we're seeing
like 10.
Well, yeah, we hit some high schools, but we've seen kids getting saved. I mean, we're like, again, we're seeing thousands and thousands of kids coming to the Lord. We're giving them the gospel. Yeah. I'm leading them in prayers. Dude, this one high school, we were at this one high school and all these kids come forward. There's like probably 400 or 500 kids come forward. And then maybe even more. Then I see all these teachers and the Holy Spirit led me to go, I'm like, hey, if your teacher's here and you want me to pray for you two, come forward. Mm-hmm. Then a group of teachers come forward. Then, so now we have the teachers getting saved, the students. Then we go to this other school. I give the gospel. Boom. And then I'm like, and for some reason, the teachers invited some parents to come. So right when we got there, there was like maybe like 30 parents that were there. And we're like, this is weird. This isn't like the way it normally happens.
Yeah.
So at the end of the altar call, I'm like, hey, if you're parents and you want to get saved, come forward. Parents, come forward. Tell them the story about that one guy.
Which one?
Oh, did you hear about that one parent?
No, you and Jester were talking about it though.
So after this, you know, parents get saved. And then Jester's like, hey, come talk to this guy. So this guy basically gave his life to God a long time ago. And then they told him, and then he backs it. He got into drugs and alcohol. His family doesn't know, so he's been piling out hard. And the teachers told him, hey, there's a conference today at the school. You guys can come. And he's like, I don't want to come. So he was fighting against coming to the last minute, and then he's like, something just told me just to go. He came. He ended up giving his life back to the Lord. We gave him a Bible, got him plugged in church, and prayed with him.
Wow.
God wanted this to be in Mexico at this time, right at this point, because he just connected so many dots. The skateboarders, the skateboarders' friends, the kid who had cancer, connecting that dot. This parent being, it was just all perfect. It was completely a God thing. And so we were just happy to be there.
What about the jail?
The jail was something that was nuts. That was
I was scared, actually. I was like, I don't know about no jail.
So it was like a youth penitentiary type of deal. Boys and girls, some kids in there are there who are actually still going through their sentencing. So they're actually wearing a different color. They're still going through the court process. And then some kids who are there in white, like they're there.
Hey, okay, for real though, break down. Like, remember when we showed up? Remember the setup? Remember the setup, how they were setting the
Okay, so if you're making it by way of comparison to sometimes the way we set up our high schools, this setup was a little different. So we get there. They got a nice little looking stage. We're kind of like on like a concrete basketball court area. And they bring the chairs out. The kids are kind of in their cell still. And then you got like these four guys come out. And they have like these big bamboo sticks, like long
big,
bamboo
like,
poles.
How long? Like we're talking like
– yeah, like 20 feet.
What?
Like
longer. Maybe more. And maybe 30 feet big bamboo. Four of them. Four.
And so the church is coming. They're setting up the sound system. And then these guys just come out of nowhere with these bamboo poles. And attached to the bamboo poles is like a netting. I'm like, what's going on? And they start jimmy rigging this thing up. And it's basically their awning for shade. But it's all connected to these bamboo poles over the whole area. I was like, all right, man, these guys will put up anything.
It was crazy. It was like, how'd they just rig this whole, like, how's this thing going to even be secure? And then they're like holding it with like water bottles.
Yeah.
The whole thing. God. I was like, dude, this is sketchy.
They were confident though. We were all shook, like this thing's going down. These guys were like, no sweat, it's all good.
Oh wait, very important aspect is we actually, as we were touring this thing, we toured with Fermin. Let me tell you a little bit about Fermin. Fermin, basically, he was a huge rock star hip-hop artist. He came out in the late 90s. It was called Control Machete. He did songs with like Cypress Hill and a lot of different people, but he was massive in Mexico. I mean, he is massive still. Everyone knows him.
Yeah.
He's so big. He has the biggest hit songs that even these little scrub kids know the songs from. It's played on TV so much still.
Oh my gosh.
To date. So he found the Lord. He became a pastor for like nine years. Now he has this huge church in Mexico City. Yeah. But recently Sony Music came back to him and asked him to do another album.
Wow.
So he basically just put out, he's put out an EP with Sony Music, and now he's writing his album, which he'll be touring. So he actually went on the tour with us. So he was the one that was performing for all the kids. He'd play like four hip-hop songs, perform, and then the last one, he'd give the gospel through that, already prepare the way, and then he was able to help translate with a couple other guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, that so as far as that prison went, you know, you have kids in there, and I'm looking at these kids in particular. So that actually, that event is when God really called me out to say, hey, you know what? All these events, you're not just here to, you know, take some pictures and, you know, set some chairs up. You need to be praying. And so I made it a point. I made it a point that, you know what, I'm going to be praying. And that's when the real heavy spiritual warfare started. So just imagine, you have kids there who are in there for rape, murder,
You know,
drug trafficking, all this type of stuff. And so I'm praying, and you see kids tattooed straight across their forehead, tattoos all over their face in there. And but one thing that really stood out to me, so when we were done with that event, Fermin did his thing, Ryan gave the message, and you can't really call the kids up for an altar call, but you can kind of just ask them to respond. And afterwards, we're kind of just hanging out, just like we normally do. Some of the kids respond to the gospel, we pray with them. And then afterwards, they ask one of the kids to come up and kind of play some music. And you're sitting there, and this kid's just playing music, kind of farting around. You can tell he's like the clown of the group. He's playing his guitar, and he has a pretty good voice, decent voice, and he's just kind of playing for everybody. And I'm like, man, like, how is this kid in here right now? Like, what is – he seems so happy-go-lucky. He's just messing around, playing his guitar, and you hear he's in there for, you know, attempted rape.
Yeah,
rape. A rape.
Wow.
And, you know, and you're like, what? And it's like, man, the enemy is robbing these kids. The enemy is ridiculously robbing these kids. So I made it a point from that point forward. Every high school event we went to, I needed to be praying. I needed to get my job done, but I needed to be praying mentally.
This in this place that we were at, when we walked in there, like, because we, at that point, we had the director of the police academy there. We had the director of the jail with us.
Yeah.
And then we had, everywhere we went, we'd have government personnel that are not Christians with us, shooting photos, documenting everything we're doing just to watch it.
Yeah.
So in there, they're like, these people, these kids have killed people. Wow. These are murderers, rapists. They said there was girls there. There's probably like maybe like 10 girls there. They said some of these girls, basically what will happen is their boyfriend will kidnap someone, and then the girl will go take the money to drop it off, and then she'll get caught. So she'll get in jail for being a part of the kidnapping. There was another kid that was in there. Now, these are all under 18, 17 and down. Wow. One kid's job was to cut up the bodies and melt the flesh and the bones with acid and disappear the bodies for the you know, the Norcos.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, we're here with these kids. This is like happening.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was, dude, it was heavy. And like half the kids got saved.
Yeah.
It was sick, or maybe even a little bit more. It was like, they were open to the gospel. They were desperate, and but they don't normally respond to that either, these guys said.
Yeah.
So it was just the Holy Ghost showing up.
Well, I think it's just funny that you guys are saying that the government officials were taking photos and documented, because when Yesser sent the itinerary, he's like, we're going to take them here. They can't take no photos, no nothing. And so here they're documenting it. So obviously it's just like God went before you guys. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Only God can do that. I think that kind of what Yesser was saying. Like, with man, it's impossible.
Yeah,
but with
God, right. Perfect.
Anything is possible.
There's one other cool thing. I mean, there's a lot of cool things, but this is something else that had to do with the government. I was just tripping because these guys kept showing up, you know? Yeah. And then it's funny because they would show up, they would hear it, and then they'd say, hey, are you going to tell the story again? I want to bring my friend tomorrow to hear their story.
Wow.
So they were getting touched, and government officials, too, were getting saved on the trip as well. So you got the police force, you got the government, you got the kids, you got the teachers, you got the parents. Yeah. It was just like telling you, the book of Acts. Then we're in the, going back a little bit, we were 3 days into the tour. We're in the middle. All of a sudden, this dude comes up from the government and they go, hey, Ryan, this guy and this girl want to meet you. They're here from the government. And at this point, I'm like, dude, all these kids are getting saved. And I'm like, dude, they're shutting it down. You know, am I going to go to jail now because I've been given the gospel in a place that you can't speak the gospel? Yeah. No, that's what I was going through my mind.
Yeah, of course.
They come up and they pull up the slip and they go, hey, the mayor heard about, the mayor of Mexico.
I was going to ask you about that photo. Yeah,
exactly. The mayor of Mexico heard about your guys' tour, and he's so impressed that he wrote a certificate of appreciation signed by him from the government and the mayor to deliver it to you. He's sick, but he wanted to deliver it to you today. So here I am. I get the certificate. I take a picture. I put it on my social media. I'm like, is this really happening? Dude.
Wow.
It was unreal.
I mean, for over this side, I mean, it was just amazing just watching.
Yeah.
Just seeing you guys posting and letting everybody know what was going on.
Yeah, back at home. Yeah. Thinking about from your mindset, yeah. People back at home, looking at the social, what's going on. My wife was like, I feel like you guys are standing in front of like a million kids. And I was like, yeah, I think they are.
That's what happened. Wow.
Well, dude, let's like you go to the book of Acts and you read about, you know, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit and then Paul stood up and he gave the gospel and like how many got saved? I don't remember off the top of my head.
A lot.
3,000.
3,000. 3,000 got saved. And then that was like one event one day.
Yeah.
We did 15 events.
Yeah.
In 7 days, yeah. And we were seeing, it wasn't 3,000, but we were seeing like 90% of the place gets every single day. Yeah. So if you were to add up, I mean, that we could have, there could have been like 6,000 people that came to the Lord in 7 days.
Yeah.
And we were in front of 7,000.
I think they said how many did they pass out?
Yeah. So that was that 7,000 number is just coming from. So the church that booked us and brought us out, they had church invitation flyers. They had 9,000 set aside for the whole event and then they had 2,000 left afterward. That was 7,000. But that's a rough number. There was probably more than that. It was probably roughly around like 8,500 kids or so, 9,000 kids. It was whatever it was. The Lord knows.
Lord knows.
He knows. It was nuts.
You can't even keep track in that situation.
Well, I just, you know, from what I see, it's just seen from when, you know, 2.5 years ago, starting to kill the noise. I mean, it's honestly just seeing just the obedience of just stepping out by faith.
Right.
And trusting that God's going to do things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tripping out like just how many schools God has been opening the door. And just seeing the encouragement on social media, just people praying, like every time you would post photos and, you know, people just, you know, praying and stuff. And that to me is like...
That's where it's at.
That's what it's going to be. It's like every one of us, whether we are there with you or not there, we can all be part of God's movement.
Yeah.
And that's just praying, you know, because we all are part of it.
Definitely.
You know, and you just see how, you know, these kids are just hungry.
When you think about it, it's like... Truth. What is going on? The enemy has these kids, no matter where they're at in the world.
Yeah.
He has them blinded, and there's power in prayer.
Yep.
So as the believers come together and pray,
yeah,
you know, there's the prayer warriors. There's the ones that are serving, you know, There's the ones that are giving. There's the ones that are the messengers that are being sent out to give the gospel. There's the ones that are home preaching and teaching and discipling. You have the whole body of Christ.
Yep.
But it's so important that we all work together and everyone's functioning, then that's how people are getting saved. They're getting discipled. Yeah. Then we got the prayer warriors breaking the strongholds to get in. Because when we're getting into these schools, it's strongholds. We're going against atheism. We're going against the whole, you know, the homosexual agenda. We're going against the whole
new age thinking.
I mean, you're going against going against all the lies of the enemy.
Yep.
And Satan has to, you know, be subdued by God, and those strongholds have to be broken so we can get in. And do what we've been called to do.
Yeah. You know? So everybody, you're just seeing the product of your labor and prayer. You know, everybody that supports the movement, everybody that follows what we're doing and believes in what we're doing, you're seeing on social and what we're talking about here, you're seeing the product of the prayers. You're seeing the product of just the back end stuff, everything as far as organizing what Ryan was talking about, the body working together.
Yep.
And so, you know, this is something that we want to continue to do till kingdom comes. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you're somewhere out there and you're looking for to have the WHO service come out to your local area, we're booking now throughout the U.S. and Canada. And so reach us. You can come to Ryan's, you can hit us up on Ryan's social, info@ryanreese.com. That's for the wake up tour, but for the kill the noise, you can find us at info@thewhosoevers.com to book your school and reach out to us and see what the Lord has.
We want to book. We want to do it. We want to, I think this is the beginning of big stuff. I mean, we started, how many years ago? 2 years ago?
2.5 years ago. I mean, our first year we went to 9 schools. Last year we went to 15, and we've already booked right now about 48. And we're still booking.
And we have the 8 more.
Yeah. I mean, the next 2 weeks... Every day we're in San Diego.
Every day. So we have like,
school in
I think
San Diego.
We have nine schools in the next 2 weeks in San Diego. And then we have San Jose happening.
San Jose.
And then we have, we're going to the East Coast. We're going to get some stuff cracking over there.
Yep.
So yeah, man, God's doing it. So please do get involved, call us out, and we would love to come out to
Definitely. Do it.
What else? What else was going on? What are some other highlights here? Why we have a few minutes left?
The food was amazing.
Yeah, were you breaking out or were you not?
All the whole time. Hives.
Were you eating tacos?
Let me tell
not?
You something. Mexican food there is different than
it
here.
It is.
It is different.
Yeah.
You can eat it every day. It's not greasy and
no,
it's not
different.
Heavy.
Yeah, it's different.
No, definitely. I grew up eating Mexican food, and I thought it was decent.
What do you think? Because you grew up in a Mexican family.
Yeah, so if you don't know, so if you want to know a little bit about me, so I was adopted at birth into a Latino family, so my last name is Gonzalez, so people were kind of tripping out on me on that. But
for the people that can't see, you're a brother.
Yeah, I'm a brother. Hey, if you're not watching online. But yeah, I mean, the food was amazing. One thing that I tripped out on was the quesadillas. Oh my goodness. I had a quesadilla that just blew my mind. The cheese was just something different. It was just good stuff.
What was it like? Queso fundido?
I think that's what they were saying. Yeah. And one
blue
thing
corn
that,
too.
Yeah, blue corn. I was like, blue tortilla. I was like, what the heck? But one thing that tripped me out was that if you want a quesadilla out here, you have to ask for it with cheese. I was like, what?
Like, he's all, what's a quesadilla
without cheese?
He's all, don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't ask.
You know, but yeah, it was good. It was really good, you know. So obviously, we're talking about all the high schools. We're talking about all these kids that were coming forward. And on to be honest, it's hard for me and Ryan to kind of filter it all into an hour talk show because it was just so many schools and so many kids, you know. But I was just blessed to be in front of those kids. And I can't say enough about the church that got us out there. And Yes Sir and Jaime, I really can't.
And Fermin.
And Fermin, you know, and his DJ Diego. Yep. Big thanks to that guy and just trekking along and staying with us. We thank you for that. And all the ladies. So what was cool was...
Oh, my gosh. The ladies.
Yeah. So yes. The ladies put the guys to shame. So every day, so we were in our hotel. And then every morning we would leave our hotel. And they would just have our snacks and food on deck. After each high school event... Hey, you want a torta? Yeah, I want a torta. you know, and I'm getting tortas left and right. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Do you want this? And they're just taking... care wow. of us, you know? And so I learned a lesson in those ways.
Well, this is how dope they are. So for the listeners, if you don't know, I've been having like some health problems. I've been like breaking out with hives, okay? Yeah. So I'm on this like only vegetables and diet. I'm on the Daniel diet.
Yeah.
Not by choice because I just can't eat anything else. So when I went down there, they saw that menu that what I could eat.
Yeah.
So dude, the girls, they were cooking all these different recipes with just like what I could eat. So I didn't have to just eat the vegetable, like fruit and vegetable just raw. They were like creating like platters and dishes, dude, like next level.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating like a king. That has never happened before in my life.
Exactly.
I was literally like, give me apples and give me some squash or whatever. And I guess I'm going to be eating miserably. But dude, the women killed it down there.
Yeah, they did.
Everyone, that whole team just,
it's amazing.
Just amazing.
Just kingdom partners, you know?
Yep. So exactly. We're looking forward. Actually, there's doors opening right now with actually Mexico City.
Mm.
So now that we have certificates from the government, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah. I want to see Australia. We've been talking to Australia too.
Yeah.
So we're going to see it happen there. America's always on the radar. But
I think it just starts with prayer.
That's it.
And just believing like the faith of a mustard seed. You know, God loves these kids more than we do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so... for such a time as this, like you guys were saying, all the dots were connected. That's because God's a God of order and timing. Everything just like what Sean always says. Yeah, like when the Holy Spirit just flows, it just flows. You know what I mean? It's no striving and stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Too easy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Exactly. No striving.
But
we've, makes it easy.
Also, it's been easy now that the Holy Spirit's just working. But when you look back at the last 2-3 years, I feel like we've been working hard. We've been tilling the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's the parable, too, of, like, that ground, tilling it, the harvest
knocking
is ripe.
Doors.
But, there's work. There's a lot of work. We had to figure out what we were doing, what we want, how we wanted to kill the noise to be.
Yeah.
You know, we went from after-school events to, like, to assemblies. I mean, there was a lot of learning and the Holy God working in our lives and removing things and adding things.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're just in that groove, and now he's just like, okay, you guys, I'm blessing it. Let's go.
Yeah. I feel for me in the last – exactly. I mean, there's definitely a process to go through, and I just think just looking where we're at now, it's just like I feel like, Lord, the more we just stay out of the way, the more you just open those doors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he does it, he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets all the glory. It's like – you know what
totally.
I mean? it's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I was blessed. One of the nights I was able to teach. They're doing a church plant out there, and so one of the pastors who's doing the church plant, he asked me to teach, and one of the verses I was able to share was out of John. You know, that Jesus said. So you have the whole story of Lazarus dying, and they're like, "Lord, where were you?" And Jesus says, "Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, that you would, if you would just only believe, you would see the glory of God?"
Wow.
And so that's all that's needed. We just need to trust in God, believe that he is sufficient to do his work, and then you'll see the glory of God. And this is the things that we're seeing, you know? Yeah.
Well, the show's been amazing. We got actually another amazing night tomorrow night at Calvary Chapel, Diamond Bar. I have Remy Edelecki. He's a former Navy SEAL, and he's in the new Transformers movie, and he has an I Am Second film. I'm going to be interviewing him. He's cool. He's been on the show. He's dope, and he's from Brooklyn, New York. Bronx, New York.
The Bronx.
And it's going down tomorrow. If you want to come hang out, he's going to be telling a story. It's going to be a great night. Calvary Chapel, Diamond Bar, 6 p.m. tomorrow. We're all going to be there hanging out and just eating. My Delight Cupcakes is going to be there. Tacos, sick. I'm sure.
Yep, some ice cream.
Ice cream, we got it all.
Whosoever booth will be set up, you can get your merch.
Yep. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you guys for being on the show.
All right, man. Peace out.
Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.